Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your late night live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673, is open, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Thank you, Father, that we can look to you in times of turmoil and when we see things happening in the world today, that we can rest assured that if we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, then we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that one day you're going to receive us unto yourself, and that you're going to bring us to be in heaven with you for all eternity. Lord, we look forward to that day. Help us to be a witness and testimony to those around us, and use this program today to help people find faith in Christ as their personal Savior as well. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I come on the air tonight, and it's just been a gorgeous day today. I was talking to somebody earlier this afternoon at our nursing home service, and we were talking about just how nice it was today, and said, I don't know if I'm really in Northeast Ohio right now, because two nice days in a row on the weekend, no less. That's just it must be some kind of a record or something, but it's just a beautiful day. And it's just in those days, late summer, and just kind of nice to see the beautiful sunshine and, you know, listen to the birds and everything. I was getting ready for some stuff yesterday, working on some things for church, and I was sitting in my desk looking out the window and watching a hummingbird zipping around outside, just outside the window, and just watching other birds at the bird feeder, and it's just nice to be alive. And I look at those things and I think, you know, what a beautiful world God has created. And then I'm remembering that when God created the heavens and the earth, we read in Genesis chapter 1 there that he did these various things and he said that it was good. And really, it is a very beautiful world that we live in. But you ever stop to think about it? The world that we live in is really not exactly the same as the world that God created initially. As we live in a world that's cursed, it's under the curse. Revelation chapter 3 talks about the curse put upon the world. And then, of course, Genesis chapter 3. And then in I believe it's chapter 6, talks about Noah's flood. And because of the curse and because of Noah's flood, the world in which we live was radically altered. It just was just changed in so many ways prior to the flood. For instance, the whole world from the North Pole to the equator to the South Pole would have been probably a tropical to semi-tropical environment. You say, well, Pastor Al, that's crazy. How could there have been tropical plants growing at the South Pole? Well, you know, if you go down under thousands of feet of ice, you find frozen tropical vegetation. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And same thing, I just heard somebody recently was saying about when they were drilling up in Alaska, up north of the Arctic Circle and near Point Barrow, drilling for oil. They were going down. They went down several thousand feet looking for oil, and they said that they drilled through a 300-foot-tall tree that was buried in 1,000 feet of frozen permafrost, frozen earth, frozen ground. And there's this tree that they drilled all the way down through. And just absolutely amazing. So how would a 300-foot tree, you're thinking, think like the sequoias and the redwoods in along the west coast in California and all. You know, that's, we're talking about a 300-foot tree like that. And to be up above the Arctic Circle, either the planet was radically shifted at some point, or maybe it's just like the Bible was. But when we see the world as beautiful as it is today, It's nothing compared to what it was like before the flood. It's nothing compared to what God originally created. And I don't know about you, but I'm hoping one day to see that new heaven and that new earth, which will be restored to be like the original earth. Well, you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673, talking about the beauty of God's creation, but at the same time, we also know that this world is lost under sin, and we know that it's under the god of this world, which is the devil, and that he is the prince of the power of the air. And we live in a day where there's wars and rumors of wars, and we think of all of the terrible things happening in various parts of the world, Middle East in particular. The reports of one report I read looked at maybe as many of 1,000 or more people gassed with sarin gas in Syria. And it's not so much a question about whether or not they've been gassed. They're obviously dead, and they obviously died from what looks like sarin, some kind of chemical looks like sarin. And it's not whether or not it happened, but the question right now is who did it? Some people claim that it was the Syrian government troops, the Syrian army that did it. Another group is claiming that it was actually the Free Syrian Army, the rebel troops that did it, and trying to discredit the Syrian army. And then, of course, there's the attacks and the rioting and stuff ongoing inside of Egypt, churches being burned. I think it's over 60 churches or more have been burned in Egypt. And I've heard reports about people marking buildings that belong to Christians in Egypt. And then, the next day or so, these buildings being attacked and burned and destroyed. And, of course, some of the body count in Egypt, where it's being attributed to the Egyptian army killing Muslim Brotherhood people and people at these rallies supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and the ousted President Morsi. Evidence that I believe it was Waleed Shobat has some video actually posted showing Muslim Brotherhood snipers on top of buildings gunning down people at their own rallies for the propaganda value. You say, well, how can they do that? Well, you know, that's the beauty of Islam. You can do anything as long as it furthers the cause of Islam. And we need to pray for that part of the world. It's a lot of terrible things happening in the world today. And we just need to trust God and trust Christ as our Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that trumpet to sound and the voice of the archangel and to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and to ever be with Him. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And I believe we've got a caller calling in, and we'll see if we can get Mark on the line here. I think we're having a little trouble getting the phone line to go through. Mark, if we're having trouble with your phone call, so keep call back, I guess. We're having trouble keeping you here. But 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight as we're waiting, trying to get the phone straightened out there. I'll share something else that I found kind of interesting here. The astronomers have been trying to detect planets around other stars in the galaxy, and it's kind of interesting because things they're finding out contradict what should work out by the Big Bang theory. And we spend some more time in this later. I believe we got the phone calls coming through here, and just suffice to say, the more they find out, the less likely the Big Bang theory seems to be, and really the more likely that special creation a la Genesis chapter 1 seems to be the case. But we'll hold on that. We've got some callers calling in, and we've got our first call, I believe, is Mark getting through finally. Mark, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm glad you're here too.
Okay, great.
Thanks for sticking with it.
Sure. This pertains actually to the end times.
Yes, sir.
And but it's on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. You know, in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus about, you know, his return, he didn't talk about an event or a person first. He said, take heed that no man deceive you.
Right.
And that is the earmark of the end times, which started, you know, basically after the day of Pentecost. The enemy tried to bring in heresy right away.
Oh, yeah. Even Paul warned the church in Acts, you know, beware of grievous wolves in sheep's clothing rising up in your own midst.
Yeah, and he was weeping as he said it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, you know, he had a heart for truth, and he knew what was going to try to come in and destroy him. The reason I'm calling, I've been on a push, I guess, so to speak, the past 2 weeks in my own life to ask for prayer for family members that have been involved in a cult for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
The cult, very obscure, but it's very influential amongst some of the leaders of the Pentecostal charismatic movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a part of that, but it's called End Time Handmaidens and Servants.
Okay, I confess I'm not really familiar with that one.
Yep, very obscure. If people Google that, the second or third link of End Time Handmaidens on a Google search will be a report I wrote. I don't make money off this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking for money. It's all out of my own pocket by the grace of God. But I used to be in it. My mom got me involved in it 30 years ago. Got my sister and brother-in-law involved. They've been involved for 30 mm-hmm. years.
Can you give a real quick summary of what it is, just like a moment, just a few seconds or something, just a real brief summary?
Sure. Basically, they believe that if you fast for 21 days, you'll get a double portion anointing, and you'll be able to do greater works than just your average Christian. That's one of their focuses.
Okay.
The thing is, though, that 21-day fast on liquids they do, physiologically, it's horrible. It's mm-hmm. very damaging to people, and they don't realize it. But I got a sister with 5 kids and 3 grandkids now, and those 5 kids that she has and the 3 grandkids have been under demonic attack for 30 years because their parents have been involved, their parents and grandparents have been involved in this cult.
And if I might interject there, you bring up a very good point. People don't realize sometimes what they subject their children to
exactly.
by getting involved in these types of cults and false religions and beliefs.
Exactly. Kids always suffer the worst. When parents take their kids to a church where heresy is being preached, the kids suffer the worst, too. That's probably why 90% of our kids don't come back after high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not seeing a true gospel in a huge percentage of our churches nowadays.
Right.
But I'm just asking for prayer. If people want to Google it, again, it's End Time Handmaidens, and read my report. It's really kind of freaky. And I've been out for 20 years, but honestly, it's freaky. But I'd appreciate prayers for family.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that prayer request. I'm going to have to look that up after the program because, like I said, I've not heard of that. I'm not as familiar with that. And you said it's kind of small. How, if you had to make a guess, I mean, you know, are we talking hundreds of people, thousands of people, or
probably a couple thousand people? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's worldwide. It's
okay.
Not well known too much in this country, but they send what. You know, they're, quote, missionaries all over the world. They've mm-hmm. been in probably every country of the world.
Do they have sort of a headquarters or main
headquarters
location?
Is in Jasper, Arkansas.
Okay.
And the thing is, the leader who died in January after being leader of it for like 40 years, the last 4.5 years of her life, she was claiming she was having visits from her dead husband.
And that's necromancy.
Absolutely. She was into astral projection, automatic mm-hmm. handwriting, and channeling. And the thing is, that type of stuff spreads throughout that cult or any mm-hmm. type of cult like that.
Well, and you talk about those things, astral projection, automatic handwriting and stuff. Really, that's demonic activity.
Absolutely.
And when you think about it, it's just like, you know, somebody said, oh, I have, you know, this mental ability, you know,
no.
where I can levitate something or I can make something happen or I can know what's happening, you know, on the other side of town.
That's a demon.
It's a demon. You're exactly right. And I give you, for instance, if I said I can make this book fall off the table, well, a demon can push that book off the table, and you're fooling your own self because
yeah.
you want to think that it's your ability, and
yeah.
you're giving a foothold to that demonic activity in your life, and that's why we need to turn to Christ and not to this sort of thing.
Yep. Benny yeah. Hinn, of course, is kind of infamous for visiting the graves of Catherine Kuhlman
yes,
and Amy Semple McPherson.
Yeah.
The thing is, he has spoken at this cult's meeting. There's a picture of him on my website with him standing next to the now dead cult leader. Suzanne Hinn, his wife, is a member. And I've documented that. And the thing is, the reason I say that is because there are a lot of these charismatic Pentecostal charlatans, because that's what Benny Hinn is. I'm not saying everybody in the charismatic Pentecostal movement is a charlatan, but Benny Hinn is. But they have hobnobbed with this cult, so to speak. And a lot of the garbage that goes on in cults is infiltrating the church. Well, I say that with this cult. There's other... Really, it's kind of a unique cult because you've got a lot of have been influenced by the writings of this woman. And her writings were, some of them were plagiarism of New Age books.
Yeah, well, and actually, a few months ago, I actually did a series of programs which are actually available online at our website, live.maplenoll.us. That's live.maplenoll, MAPLEKNOLL.US. Okay. And I went into some of that and how, they're exactly, if you read New Age writings and you read some of these people like you're talking about, if you take out some of the more Christianese language that's in them, they're indistinguishable. And really, you don't even have to take the language out. I mean, it's some of them are just indistinguishable because they come from the same spirit.
Yep, and it's filtering in the church, and it's, I tell you what, there's just, it's no wonder our churches are a mess with all the demonic influence that is filtering in.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that information. I'm going to have to look for that information after the program.
Sure.
And, you know, how did you get out of it? That's the one thing I would want to ask. What got you out of it?
The Bible.
I'm glad for that answer.
What's that?
I said I'm glad for that answer. That sounds exactly like what Paul in warning Timothy in chapter 2 Timothy 3, where he said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then down in the end of that chapter, in verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And Paul warned Timothy to resist these evil men and seducers and false teachers. He said, "Go to the Scripture. Go to the Scripture."
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you said there, your testimony there, because that's a problem. We don't want to go to the Scriptures.
No.
We lean to our own understanding rather than the Scriptures. And that's why Paul warned Timothy there that in the very next chapter 4, to preach the word in verse 2, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Then he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Absolutely.
But after their own lust
itching
shall they
ears.
Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And then he says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables.
Yeah.
There it is. Just exactly what you said. Appreciate your testimony there. And we're going to have to check that out and look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, it's at eth-s.com. eth-s.com. I got saved December 13th, 1980. Nobody discipled me. Nobody told me to get into the Word. Less than a year later, I got sucked into this thing through one of my parents. And I ended up working at the headquarters, and the last 3 or 4 years that I was at the headquarters, God just moved it on my heart to stay in the Word every morning, no matter if I got 3 or 4 hours of sleep the night before. And that's what opened my eyes. The Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scriptures, opened my eyes.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And I've never been out of it. I stay in it every day since,
day. That's what we need to do. I mean, we eat food on a daily basis to stay strong and healthy.
Yep.
And
daily
we
manna.
Need to feast on the Word of God. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We had somebody trying to call in, and we're having a few problems with some of the phone lines tonight. But if you're trying to get in, Just keep calling. We'll get you through. Just for whatever reason, you know, modern technology, it still fails us. We come all these days, all these ways, you know, and sometimes I wonder how much better off we were when you picked up the phone and you gave it a few twists on the, you know, crank the handle a few times. And you got Mabel and said, yeah, connect me up with the Bob across town. And she goes, okay, just a minute. But I believe we've got Fran calling in. I think, Fran, welcome. Thank you for keeping at it tonight.
Okay, thank you. I'm calling in about they have a lot of Arabs they're releasing from prison in Israel.
Right,
and they're
right.
going to go back to, I think, regrouping and causing a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they want to come to America. They want to have a big thing by September 11th.
Right, on September 11th, like a million Muslim march of some sort or something in Washington, D.C.
Right, and they're planning to start some kind of a thing going over there. I don't know if it's a big discussion or what they're going to do there, but it's going to be a big problem, I'm afraid, so we got to pray about that.
Right, and we do need to pray for our country. I mean, I'm not going to say that the Muslims are the source of all the problems and difficulty in the world, but they are one of the big groups right now. And what distresses me is that there's a number of people, even good, otherwise, you know, sound born-again Christians, who seem to think that the Muslims are not a big threat. And I'm telling you, when I left the Air Force in the 1980s and seeing, you know, what was going on in the Cold War, and then after the Berlin Wall came down, the Soviet Union crumbled, I told my wife, I said, and this was based on what I saw when I was in the Air Force, I told my wife, I said, the next thing we're going to have to contend with is Islam. Because I saw it when I was in the Air Force. I was privy where I worked in a job that I did to see some of this information. And it was always there in the context of the Cold War. It was just kind of kept in check to a degree. And, you know, we would utilize some of the Islamists against the Soviet Union and that side, and the Soviet Union would use Islamists against us. Remember one of the criticisms there of 9/11 and Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda was that we created Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda? There's a lot of truth to that because we armed Bin Laden and the Taliban and the forerunners of Al-Qaeda and all that in order to oppose the Soviets when they invaded Afghanistan. And it actually did work. I mean, we really used Afghanistan to bankrupt the Soviet Union, which led to the Soviet Union collapsing there after that. And but the thing of it is, when we bankrupted and collapsed the Soviet Union and won the Cold War, we just kind of let them go. We just kind of walked away from Bin Laden and walked away from the Taliban and walked away from some of these other Islamist groups that we were using against the Soviet Union. And, you know, they had no love for us. As long as they were getting money from us, that was one thing, but they had no real love or loyalty for us. And so they are trying, they are an evangelical faith. Islam is an evangelical faith out to convert the entire world. Just like the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, their book, the Quran, tells them that they need to go into all the world and promote Islam and bring all the world under Sharia law eventually. And that's their goal. And, you know, we're involved in that right now, a fight against this belief.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that call.
Okay,
and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. You know, if you got a call, a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, love to hear from you tonight. And how is it that we resist these things? How do we resist Islam? How do we resist these cults and everything? Let me give you a secret. When I was in the Samoan Islands as a missionary, my wife and I arrived there, and we planted a church in the Samoan Islands. But here's the amazing thing. A lot of Mormons are there. That was one of the largest groups there. They were like the second or third largest, I think, about religious group in the Samoan Islands where we were at. And I read some materials, and they said, unless you know more about Mormonism than the average Mormon, don't even begin to try and witness to them. Then there was a pretty prominent minority group of Jehovah's Witnesses, and I read their stuff, and they said much the same thing. Unless you know more about Jehovah's Witnesses than the Jehovah's Witnesses, don't even begin to try and reason with them. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, I'm supposed to be spending my time learning the Bible. And it's like I read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he said to go back to the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. If you study the Scriptures and you learn what God has to say, it's just like the idea that people who work in a bank and they handle money, you know how they train them to recognize counterfeit bills? They don't spend all their time studying every type of counterfeit bill out there, and there's quite a bit. What they do is they get familiar with the real thing. They handle real money. And after a while, you can tell by the feel. I've known people that handle silver and gold a lot, and they can tell sometimes, you know, if somebody's trying to give them something that's not really pure gold or silver, and because it has a distinct feel. You become so familiar with real money that you can recognize the counterfeit because it doesn't measure up. And if you get so familiar with the Word of God, like our previous caller, and you become so familiar with it, you'll recognize the counterfeit by the fact that it doesn't measure up. Had a good friend in Samoa. He was a Mormon, raised in the Mormon church, and he got a hold of a gospel tract. He started reading the Bible, and he found that the theology being taught in the Mormon church didn't match up to the Word of God. He believed the Bible, and he got saved. Another friend who was involved in another religion, same thing. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Trust Christ as your Savior. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Let me warn you, we're having trouble with one of our lines tonight. If you're having problems getting through, just call back and we'll get you on, get you through here. But also want to let you know that we're brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, strombolis, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al and get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, across from the high school, and 216-341-9100. If you're interested in opening your own pizza shop and you've been put off by the high franchise fees, why don't you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus and ask how he can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you'd think possible. And it doesn't matter if you're in Ohio or West Virginia or Virginia or Pennsylvania or wherever you're at, give him a call at 216-341-9100. He'd be glad to help you out. And also mention Live with Pastor Al. And you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. And, of course, pray for our program. We appreciate you listening, and we're glad to be able to be on the air tonight. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go back to the phones. We have Espy calling in. And Espy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello there. How are you?
Good evening. Welcome.
Yes. My name is Espy Christman. I live in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born in Israel.
Oh, okay.
In Haifa.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 12, the 1967 June Six-Day War began. And my dad fought there on the Golan Heights. And he came back alive, which a lot of the men did not.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came, he told us, well, we're moving to the United States. And we went from there to Wisconsin, believe it or not, then to Connecticut, then to Ohio. But the strange thing was is that, first of all, I believe that the Lord brought me here so I would get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1979, I did give my life to the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And but, you know, it was so strange because I was in the United States 10 years. I know a lot of people will not believe this, but I was in the United States 10 years with no one witnessing to me.
Hmm.
And finally in 1977, then it's a long story of my testimony, but someone did witness to me, and then 2 years later, I gave my life to the Lord. But why do you suppose that happened? Is the church maybe not doing everything it should, or people not fulfilling the Great Commission as they should?
I think you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we think about, well, you know, the foreign mission field sending people to different places. But if you look in Acts chapter 2,
uh-huh.
And Jesus has given some of his last instructions to the disciples before he ascends up into heaven in Acts chapter 1. In
uh-huh.
Acts chapter 1, and he says this, he says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and
mm-hmm.
unto the uttermost part of the earth. And now when he said that, he was standing there in the Mount of Olives, because that's where he ascended up from, you know, right
mm-hmm.
outside the gates of Jerusalem. So, you know, we can understand that to mean you're going to be a witness starting right where you're at now.
Yeah.
And then all Judea, that would be like the surrounding area, and then Samaria, that was a nearby area, and the uttermost part of the earth. And we're willing to do the uttermost part of the earth, but we're not willing to do our Jerusalem, are we?
And yeah, that's right.
That's a problem.
And, you know, a lot of people just can't believe me, but because we were Jewish, we lived in Jewish areas where
right.
we went to each place. So no one told me about Jesus. And then growing up in Israel, we were Reformed Jews, so we didn't even go to synagogue.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So even saying the name, as you probably know, Jesus was a taboo in Israel at that time.
You know, now, and when you talk about living in Jewish areas, you know, now is that back when you were in the States here, when you first came here?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I would say that there are some Christians who are kind of daunted at going into a Jewish area for fear that they're not going to be well received. And so there, that could be some explanation, but it's not entirely a good explanation, because I remember a friend of mine at Cleveland Baptist Church, a large independent fundamental Baptist church on the west side of Cleveland, and they said that they picked up a young boy on one of their bus routes who lived, you know, just around the corner practically from the church, and they were talking about Jesus at in the Sunday school class and on and in the church service, and he finally said, "Excuse me, who is this Jesus you're talking about?"
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't know the name, and he wasn't Jewish or Muslim or anything. He was, you know, just some boy that lived in the neighborhood right next, practically in the shadow of a church. And, and you know, it's just the devil really blinds the eyes of people and to the truth and frightens Christians from being the witness. I know I'm not always the witness that I ought to be. Even when the Holy Spirit prompts me to, and that's the problem we run into. As Christians, we're
not
doing what we should
do. And then people say, well, I'm sure you saw a cross here and there, but if you don't know what a cross is and you never heard about Jesus in Israel, because we didn't even go to synagogue, and even if we did, Jesus was considered a good rabbi. He was just a teacher. He's not, they never believed that he's a son of God or any of that. And to see a cross, that wouldn't have meant anything to me at that time.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
and
but praise God, I got, you know, converted. And
yeah, somebody somewhere must have been praying for you that God would open your eyes. And thank God that that happened and you responded and you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Messiah, as your Savior.
Well, when I first heard about him then, see, this is interesting. I don't know what this is, but when this guy, Wayne Davis, first talked to me about the Lord, this is 10 years after I was here, Wayne Davis, then people started coming across my path nonstop for 2 years. And then 2 years in 1979, I gave my life to the Lord.
Well, and
so
and
it was interesting. It wasn't for 10 years, but then once I heard the first time, then it was a slew of people after that.
And what I kind of suspect was going on is he was praying for you, and then probably others were praying, and God began opening your eyes and seeing these people, and people began responding to the Holy Spirit. It's just like when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We had actually done all our deputation to go someplace else, and at the last minute, God closed the door there and had us go to the Samoan Islands. And without getting into all the details, it was really a great thing the way it worked out. But when we got there, we found a gentleman there who had been praying that somebody would come and start a church in his area that preached the Bible and proclaimed the Word of God and taught that you must be born again by faith in Christ. And he told us that we were an answer to his prayer, and he's with the Lord in heaven now. But I think when we get to heaven, he's going to have more credit for that church being there than my wife and I, because we wouldn't have been there were it not for his prayers.
Wow.
And I've heard many missionaries that have said that when they've gotten someplace, that somebody there was praying that God would bring somebody to them. And, you know, God does that, and he moves on hearts of people, and unfortunately, we don't always respond. I mean, we've already got the orders. That command that Jesus gave to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you know, starting with Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, that applies to every single believer, not just the pastors, not just the missionaries, every single believer. And as Christians, we're too busy doing other things to do what God wants us to do.
Yeah, we're all ministers, really. We all have a ministry of some sort. We just got to ask the Lord to show us what it is, you know?
Exactly. And in fact, the Bible says we're all ambassadors.
That's right.
As an ambassador, we're a representative. I remember when I arrived in England, I was stationed there in the United States Air Force, and when I arrived in England and we had some orientation on the base as a new personnel, and they told us, they reminded us that as an American living in Great Britain, that we were an ambassador for the United States, that we represented America. Now, I wasn't the ambassador in residence down in London, but when I interacted with British people, when I met them in town or rode on the bus with them or whatever, I represented America to them. And that's what a lot of Christians don't understand, is how much, just how much, we represent Christ to a lost and dying world around us. And we need to be every day cognizant of the fact that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And people see us, they don't see Jesus Christ himself personally. What they see is us. And they form their opinion of Christ based on what they see of us. And that's why we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, so that we can be a good testimony. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then he says this in verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Then he says, "And hath given to us," this is all believers, "the ministry of reconciliation." That means to tell people what Jesus did for us, how they can be reconciled to God. And he explains that, the next verse, verse 19, and this sentence is continuing on, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." That's the gospel. And then he says, now in verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." And so every single born-again believer, whether you want to be or not, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're either going to be a good representative by being conformed to the image of Christ and doing what he wants us to do, or you're going to be a poor representative.
You mean a vessels of honor and vessels of...
Exactly. I was on a tube in London one time. The tube's a subway system that goes around under the city. And I was riding, and there were two people, two guys from another American Air Force base in England, and not from the base that I was at. I didn't know them, except that I knew they were American. I could tell they were military by their haircut and their dress. And then as they were talking, it was apparent that they were Air Force personnel from another base. And the way they were acting, so crude, so rude, so loud, making people on the car and on that train uncomfortable, disgusted, turning them off completely. And I'm over in the corner of my own seat, you know, just trying to shrink into my seat and cover my head because I had the same, you know, short haircut. And I didn't want to say anything and open my mouth and have an American accent, because they left such a poor taste in the mind, on those people. Train car of their representation of America and Americans, that I was just ashamed to be an American on that car watching what they were doing. And you know what? Sometimes that's the way it is with Christians. You see Christians who are such a poor testimony, they make you almost ashamed.
Yeah, and they're no different than a non-Christian.
Exactly. Sometimes worse. And that's a sad commentary, but that's why we need to do all that we can to be conformed to the image of Christ and be a good testimony, a witness to those around us. The world is watching, whether you realize it or not.
In fact, you know, my dad's a millionaire, and he offered me everything to renounce Christ. Mm. And I said, no way, I have something much better.
Amen.
And so he took me out of his testament, you know, will.
Right.
Well, just recently he put me back in, and I really believe that he has seen some change in me all these years, and he quietly just watches. He's an onlooker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he sees things, you know, in my life that have changed for the better, and things that can only be God. It can't be anybody or anything else. It has to be the Lord doing, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, one of these days, he may certainly put his faith in Christ based on your testimony.
Yeah, I witnessed to him a lot.
The world is watching. And, you know, we can witness, and we need to witness more than just live out Christ. We need to witness, you know, we need by word as well. But,
yeah.
You know, if your deed does not match your word, if your walk does not match your word, then it's going to blunt your effectiveness as a believer.
Witness.
And that's why we need to do the best that we can to be a good ambassador for Christ. Just like they told us in the Air Force, we're ambassadors for the United States. Well,
yeah.
Here
we're
my Bible tells me I'm an ambassador.
Is that the
yeah.
same thing?
Yeah. Exactly.
We're his workmanship.
Yeah, we're his workmanship there in Ephesians 2, I believe it is. And what's he say? Created unto good works.
Mm-hmm.
We're created to do good works, not evil works, good works. That's what God wants us to do. We're also vessels, he said, created for his honor and glory. And in Revelation chapter 4, I believe it is, it says that. And also in Isaiah, I'm trying to think of the passage in Isaiah where it says much the same thing. We're created for his honor and glory, to bring glory and honor to him. And I was thinking about this today, actually, when I left the nursing home. I was talking to a lady outside the nursing home about the weather and stuff, and just she was talking about enjoying looking at the plants and the birds, and I thought to myself, you know, God could have created just one type of bird, and that was it. But he gave us such an immense variety of birds. He could have created one type of tree, and that was it. But he gave us such a huge variety of trees. And same thing with plants and other types of animals and people of different ethnicities, trying to say that tonight, ethnicities. And, you know, all of that is created to show the fantastic creative ability of God.
Yeah,
you know, why does an artist use more than, well, most artists use more than two or three colors when they're painting something? Because they want to bring out all the richness and diversity, and we sit back and we look at it and we enjoy it and we just marvel at the creativity that's been displayed before us. And that's what we see when we look at God's creation. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We see the incredible diversity in the world around us, and we ought to marvel.
Yeah,
it all came from the mind of God.
And when he created it, he said, it is good. It was good until the fall.
Hey,
but do you have a minute for another quick question?
I don't have anything on the phones right now, but let me give the number out real quick. People listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And go ahead. You said you had another question.
Yeah. If someone in the world, it could be Africa or somewhere, and if they've never heard about Jesus, would they be it's hard to explain what I'm saying. Would they make it to heaven anyway? You know, because it says, you must be born again. But if they've never heard, no one ever evangelized that area or said anything to them, what would happen?
Well, that's a question that comes up periodically. And, and we need to remember, let me go over to John, and there's a couple of other ones here as well. But I want to start in John chapter 14, and let me...
Because I heard different viewpoints on it.
Yeah, well, that's why I said I want to go and see what the Bible has to say. In John chapter 14, Jesus answered your question very directly in verse number 6. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Acts 4:12, I think it is, that says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We talked about Jesus sending us into all the world to preach the gospel.
Right.
If that person out there somewhere is not in danger of going to hell because he's not heard the gospel, why do I have to go there? Why did Jesus send me into the world? I mean, if he could get there that way, why would that be? Also, Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yeah.
Let me see if I can find that real quick here. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here I'm in
before John, he went to the cross.
Yeah, I'm in John chapter. Let's see, not eight. Yeah, I guess 18. That's not the one I want. I guess. Let's see. I'm looking and trying to find this in one of the Gospels here, where he's praying and he's basically saying, you know, can you know, if possible, this cup pass from me.
Yeah. But nevertheless, not my will.
Yeah, not my will, but thine. But basically, what we find here is Jesus, as he's praying there in the garden, he shows that there is no other way by which people can get to heaven.
That's
So if somebody else could get to heaven in some other fashion, then Jesus really didn't need to go to the cross. But he had to go to the cross because that was the only way. And that's why we're responsible to go into all the world and preach the gospel. People say, well, that's not fair. Well, let me ask you this. Is it fair that Jesus paid for my sin? I mean, is it fair that Jesus was punished for my sin? That's not fair to Jesus. He did no sin. He was without sin. And so it's really not fair that Jesus should have to pray for my sin. And and I shouldn't ask him to have to do that. Here, the one verse we were talking about in Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And, you know, really there was no other way. And we also have to understand that from the foundation of the earth, God had already had a plan of salvation in place. Because God gave Adam and Eve, you know, the choice, obey or disobey. Yeah. He wanted them to choose to obey. He gave them that free will to choose to obey or disobey. And in order to be able to have a free will, and they had to have a legitimate choice. And God wants us to choose to love him, choose to obey him. And as Christians, we of all people should choose to obey him because he saved us. And we've trusted him as our Savior. We have received the benefit of what he did on the cross and when he shed his blood to pay for our sins. So we ought to, of all people, want to take that message into the lost and dying world around us. And Jesus said to do so.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get caught up with various things and reasons that we come up with. Well, you know, I mean, we're too busy. Our church needs to have padded pews, and so that's more important than sending somebody out to evangelize people in parts of the world or even next door that need to hear the gospel. We see all that kind of stuff, and we get away from doing what God wants us to do. I hear the music coming up there right now, and so that means we're just about out of time, but you brought up some good points tonight. I appreciate that. And
maybe sometime I could call in and give my whole testimony.
Well, or at least get some parts of it out. Yeah, get some parts of it out from time to time. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
But thank you for your call tonight. Thank you to all our callers this evening. And thank you for listening to us tonight. And certainly invite you, if you want to pick up on some of these programs, we do record them. And we have them eventually up on our website, live.mapleknoll.us. That's live.mapleknoll.us. And we'll be back again next week, Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And then next Sunday from 11 till midnight. Out of time. Good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@mapleknoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.